नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। यद्ग्राण भक्षो विहित सुराया तथा पशुर आलभनम् न हिंसा एवं व्यावाह परजाय न धृत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मां। यद्ग्राण भक्षो विहित सुराया तथा पशुरालभनं न हिंसा एवं व्यवाय परजया नरत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। यद्ग्राण भक्षो विहित सुराया तथा पशुरालबलं न हिंसा एवं व्यवाय प्रजया नरत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। ग्राणभक्षो विवितासुराया एवं व्यवाय प्रजया नरत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। यद्ग्राणभक्षो विहित सुराय तथा पशुरालभनं न हिंसा एवं व्यवाय प्रजया नरत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। यद्ग्राणभक्षो विहित सुराया तथा पशुरालभनं न हिंसा एवं व्यवाय प्रजया नरत्या इमं विशुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। माताजी, यद्ग्राणभक्षो विहित सुराया एवं व्यवाय प्रजया नरत्या शुद्धं न विदु स्वधर्मम्। यत्
because. Ghrana, by smell. Bhakshaha, the taking. Vihitaha, is enjoined. Surayaha, of wine. Tatha, similarly. Pashoho, of a sacrificial animal. Alabhanam, prescribed killing. Na, not. Himsa, wanton violence. Evam, in the same way. Vyavayah, sex. Prajaya, for the purpose of begetting children. Na, not. Ratyay, for the sake of sense enjoyment. Imam, this, as pointed out in the previous verse. Vishuddham, most pure. Na vidhu, they do not understand. Swadharmam, their own proper duty. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic injunctions, when wine is offered in sacrificial ceremonies, it is later to be consumed by smelling and not by drinking. Similarly, the sacrificial offering of animals is permitted, but there is no provision for wide-scale animal slaughter. Religious sex life is also permitted, but only in marriage for begetting children and not for sensuous exploitation of the body. Unfortunately, however, the less intelligent materialists cannot understand that their duties in life should be performed purely on the spiritual platform. Purport. Madhvacharya has given the following statement in regard to animal sacrifice. Yagneshu alabhanam proktam devato deshata pashoho himsa nama tad anyatra tasmatam nacharet buddha yato yagne mrita urdhvam yanti deve chapaitruke ato labhad alabhanam svargasya natumaranam. Translation. According to the statement, the Vedas sometimes prescribe animal sacrifice in ritual performances for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord or a particular demigod. If, however, one whimsically slaughters animals without rigidly following the Vedic prescriptions, such killing is actual violence and should not be accepted by any intelligent person. If the animal sacrifice is perfectly performed, the sacrificed animal immediately goes to the heavenly planets of the demigods and the forefathers. Therefore, such a sacrifice is not for killing animals, but for demonstrating the potency of the Vedic mantras, by the power of which the sacrificed creature is immediately promoted to a higher situation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, has forbidden such animal sacrifice in this age because there are no qualified brahmanas to chant the mantras, and the so-called sacrificial arena becomes an ordinary butcher shop. And in an earlier era, when unscrupulous persons tried to establish that animal killing and the meat eating are acceptable by misinterpreting the Vedic sacrifices, Lord Buddha personally appeared and rejected their heinous proposition. This is described by Jayadeva Goswami. Nindasi yagna videraha shruti jatam sadaya ridaya darshita pashughatam keshavadrita buddha sharira jaya jagadish hare. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls are afflicted by four imperfections, one of which is cheating propensity, and thus they tend to exploit the concessions that the Lord mercifully gives to them in religious scriptures for their gradual purification. rather than follow the Vedic injunctions of the simultaneously satisfying their senses and gradually elevating themselves, the conditioned souls reject the actual purpose of such apparently materialistic ceremonies and simply become more and more degraded in the ignorance of the bodily concept of life. Thus they fall down altogether from the Varnashram system, and taking birth in the violent and the non-Vedic societies, foolishly presume the small fragments of universal religious principles prevalent there to be the exclusive religion of the soul. As a result, they fall into fanaticism, embracing merely sectarian dogmatic views of religion. Such unfortunate persons are completely out of touch with their own eternal function in life and consider things to be vastly different than they are in reality.
Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamishcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamishya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Galvataru Bhyascha Pasindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that we can discuss something about Srimad Bhagavatam today. Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is said, is a Mahapuran. So in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says that why it is called as a Mahapuran. So whenever the 10 topics are discussed in any of the places of the Vedas, then it is known as a Puran, Mahapuran. If it is lesser than them, then it can be called as a Upapuran, Alpapuran, and so on. These 10 topics are Sarga, Atra Sarga, Visarga, Ascha, Sthanam, Poshanam, Utaya, Manuvantara, Isha Anukatha, Nirodha, Muktir, Ashraya. Devotees mentioned that all these 10 topics, of which the first 9 topics are ultimately meant to take one to the Ashraya of the Supreme Lord, which is the 10th topic of discussion. So there is a sarga, the creation part, visarga, secondary creation, sthanam, 5th canto describes about the various positions of the planetary systems, and in that way, manvantara, ishanukatha, the descriptions of the devotees of the Lord, about the manus. After going, understanding all these things, one understands the power of the Supreme Lord. How powerful the Lord would be who creates so many universes just in one breath. And then, understanding the power, one can appreciate the sweet pastimes of the Lord, which are mentioned in Canto 10, of which one can take the ashraya. Then comes Canto 11. We are currently in the Canto 11, 5th chapter. So in the 10th canto, having described the ashraya principle, the sweet pastimes of Krishna, which are very attractive Just by hearing, one can attain liberation. Love of God. What to speak of liberation? Then comes the 11th canto, which describes about the liberation, which can also mean the taking shelter of the Lord. Now, in this 11th canto, Parikshit Maharaj and Sukhdev Goswami, who are discussing it, Sukhdev Goswami tells to the Parikshit Maharaj that I have described to you the sweet pastimes of Krishna in the previous canto. And now, Krishna, who has performed these sweet leelas, is thinking that my mission is over. I have made the enemies quarrel amongst each other, and that's how decreased the burden of this universe. But still there is one burden which is left. And that burden nobody can take out. And that burden is the burden of my own people, my own relatives, my own cousins, my own family members. He's talking about the Vrishnis, Yadavas. Because who can kill them? Who can destroy them? They are as powerful as Supreme Lord. Because they are the related to Supreme Lord. So nobody can destroy them. So Lord thought, let me only do something by which that burden, it's not a burden actually. Lord wanted to remove them for three purposes. One is, because he has ended his pastime, he has to go back. He has to unmanifest. In short, to unmanifest. He has to go back to Vrindavan. But he was in Vrindavan. So he just unmanifests. So for that purpose, he has to show that how the ending happens. In the movie, the end has to be there. So similarly, Lord wants to show that, okay, I am disappearing, but how? If devotees may understand, Lord just unmanifests. But outside people, they want logic. So Lord puts them in illusion. Let's see, I also die. Just like I have taken a human birth, I also die like a human being. And we make them into illusion. So that next yuga, Kali Yuga, will progress. So that is one reason. Another reason is, when the Lord Krishna comes, all the incarnations of the Lord Krishna, they also come along with them in that body. And they experience the leelas. So now they have to go back to their abodes. Like Mahavishnu has to go to Mahavishnu's place. Shirodakshaya Vishnu has to go to Shir Sagar. Narayan has to go to Vaikuntha. Narayan Rishi has to go to Badrikashram. So all they came with Krishna, they have to go. So that is the second reason. The Lord has to end the pastime. And then the third reason is, when the Lord and his associates come, there are the demigod portions who also merge in the associates of Lord. Just like Sukhdev Goswami. He's a parrot in the spiritual world. But other devotees from the demigod, they merge in that. Like Brahma, we see that it's a jiva who comes. But sometimes when the jiva is not qualified up to the mark, the Lord himself comes and plays the role of a Brahma. And the unqualified portion of the Brahma who is about to become Brahma, he merges in that Supreme Lord's incarnation and plays the role of a Brahma. When Devaki Vasudev comes, the devotees who are so advanced and wants to have Krishna as their parents, they merge in the Devaki and Vasudev portion. So they have to go back to their abodes. If the demigods are coming, they have to go to Swargaloka. So Lord plays this pastime, ending pastime, so that these devotees go back to their Swargaloka and other places from where they have come. So for this purpose, Lord performs these final pastimes. And that is described in the first chapter of the 11th canto. Then, in the second chapter, it so happens that one day, Narad Muni, who was staying in Dwarka, so Krishna has decided, I will end the pastime, but nobody can destroy. Yadavas, it's me only who will have to do something. So just like a wind plays a role, it creates a fire in the bamboos. Because of the wind, the two bamboos come together, then the fire is ignited, then they burn each other, and then the fire vanishes. And then wind goes away. So wind comes, without anyone notice, creates fire, burns them, and then vanishes. goes off. Similarly, the Krishna, invisible, how he plays, how he does everything, curses, through the curses of a Brahmanas on the Yadu dynasty, he winds up the Yadavas. They fight amongst each other because of the curse, which was created by Krishna himself in invisible way. And then everything is winded up. And then Krishna, for these three reasons, he then disappears. So Krishna, having decided this, once in the Dwarka, Narad Muni, who was staying there, though he had a curse that he cannot stay at one place, still it was Dwarka. The curses does not play work. So Narad Muni, who stayed for a long time seeing the activities of Krishna, once visited the place of Vasudev, the father of Krishna. And there, when he came there, Vasudev became so happy. He was so glad. He said that a people like you come to the place of the living entities just like a father visits the children. When father visits the children, the three kinds of children, one who are unintelligent, one who are intelligent class, and one who are in the mid-core class, all get benefited. Father does not say that, oh, this person is unintelligent, I will not feed him. So similarly, these devotees of the Lord, when they come for the benefits of the living entity. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they get benefited by his association. Those who are not advanced, they get benefited by his association. And those who are mid-core, they become serious. Then he says that your coming is more beneficial than the demigods coming. Why? Because demigods sometimes give pleasure and sometimes give happiness. Just like we see, there is too much rain. Diwali has come, still the rain is going on. Pain. But happiness, at least they are giving rains. Water is getting filled up. So pleasure and pain. But when the saintly people come, they only give happiness. Because they give that seed of bhakti. Narad Vasudev says that Narad Muni, the devotee's associate, even for a one moment, is more beneficial than the 100 years of life. One moment. Now somebody may say that one moment may be of pure devotees, not of sadhakas. Because we have so much association of sadhakas. Sometimes we see that, oh, bahut ho gaya. So much of Vaishnava association. But here it is said that even a moment of Vaishnava association, not pure devotees, even of a sadhakas. Why? Because that moment of association gives the bhakti lata bij. It grants the bhakti lata bridge. And then that bridge, that beach, that seed is granted, given, then it's up to a devotee how they want to flourish, how they want to water. So that's why the association of devotees is very important. After praising him so much, and then Vasudev asks a question to Narad Muni, kindly tell me about the Bhagavad Dharma. Tell me about the essence of life. What is the duty of a person to do? I have wasted my life in the sense that when Lord appeared to me in my previous birth, I asked the Lord, give me a son like God. Give me yourself. He did not say, give me a son like God. It was actually Atri Muni who said, give me a son like you. That was a material desire. Why? Because he did not ask son directly. He did not ask for a Lord directly to become a son. He asked, give me the son like you. So that's a material desire. But here, Devaki and Vasudev were Prushni and Sutapa in the previous life. They said that, we want you, Krishna. Now how do you feel that desire? Somebody who are becoming a mother may ask, I want a devotee child. But what about asking Krishna as a child? It's okay, one may think. But Prabhupada mentions, one should not desire even Krishna to become our child. Why we want to make Krishna as our child? Prabhupada asks, why do you want Krishna as your child? Somebody may say, oh, then we'll take care of Krishna. Anyhow, we have to take care of our child. But child does so many naughty things. Stool, urine. Krishna's stool, urine, so sugandhit. 8 miles we can smell. So Krishna's, to serve is very good. But Prabhupada mentioned, you know how many years tapasya this Devaki and Vasudev did in their previous life to get Krishna as their son? They did a lot of austerity. Thousands of years of tapasya. Are you ready to do that? And he says that if you are ready to do that, which will not happen in Kali Yuga, so no way of going for it. But even if one wants to do something, desire, why not desire to do little sacrifice in this age, which is recommended? Lord Krishna himself comes at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says that, just do little thing. Just chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Because even if the Krishna comes as your son, Krishna had a son who was a demon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an associate who was traveling with him, but he also got deviated. So even staying with Krishna is not guaranteed that we will become devotees of Krishna. But if we stay with the devotees of Krishna, then we may get that bhakti lata bij, and then by continuous instruction we'll go back to Godhead. That's why Vasudeva glorifies Narad Muni, saying that your association is more important than even the association of Krishna. I am staying with Krishna, but I have not inquired about liberation. I was just happy in enjoying with Krishna. But now when I have heard the curses of Brahmanas to this dynasty, I am worried what will happen to me. Why? Because I have not taken enough advantage of Krishna's association and got liberated. That's why I am disturbed. He was actually disturbed because of cursing, not because of curses, but because of harming or because of effect that happened to the Brahmanas. Because Brahmanas got disgusted and that's why they cursed. So he was unhappy because of that. So he says that your association, now that I'm associating with you, tell me the purpose of life. Tell me the Bhagavad Dharma. Why? Because that I will get liberation. I'll get feared. I will get free from the fear of life and death. So I'm seeking your shelter. He's not talking about Krishna here anymore. Because he has got Krishna enough. But now he's taking shelter of Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni says, okay, hear what I'm telling you. So 11th canto starts about a discussion of Narad Muni and Vasudeva. That's it. Whole 11th canto, discussion between them. What does he discuss? 31 chapters. 23 chapters talks about the Uddhava's instruction to Krishna's instruction to Uddhava. And then remaining chapter talks about the disappearance of Krishna and his devotees. So like this, 31 chapters are mentioned. So this first chapter talking about the disappearance, prelude, introduction to disappearance of Krishna's pastime. Now, fourth chapter talks about the Narad Muni's conversation with Vasudeva, wherein Vasudeva asks, tell me. So Narad Muni says, I'll give you the example from the history. From history, I'm giving you the example. Prabhupada says, see, this history is important. Not the history of today's world, where they talk about the people of recent who did something. But Prabhupada says, the history of the previous devotees of the Lord and about the Lord is more important. Why? Because when you hear about them, as Narad Muni said, by hearing or discussion, what will happen? One will get free from the cycle of birth and death. But if we hear, the history of, say, normal modern subjects, what is the benefit? People say one should know the history. One should know the news. What's happening? One should know about our recent past. What happened? Who all people came? So one should know. Prabhupada says, okay, you are talking about that logic that one should know. But what is the result? What's happening in the history? If we see in the war side, there is a standoff going on, was going on. And then for nuclear weapons, there is a cry going on. So it's all about the destruction of mass weapons going on. It's a war. So what is the result, you see, of knowing this history? People have not improved in any cooperation. But Prabhupada says, see, here Narad Muni is telling, if you hear the history of the past people about the Vedas, from the Vedas, then what will be the result? You will get freed from the cycle of birth and death. So then he says, I will give you the examples from the history. And he says that there were 9 Yogendras, who were the sons of Rishabdev, who were the sons of Agnidra, who were sons coming from the Ishvaku dynasty. So he says that from Ishvaku, in this way, comes the Rishabdev and then the sons of Rishabdev, of which the 9 Yogendras were the one. The eldest one was Bharat Maharaj. Rest, after that, the nine were the kings who ruled the one verses of the Bharat Varsha, different verses in the Bharat Varsha itself. And then 81 were Brahmanas, remaining nine were now Yogendras. They were like the naked sadhus traveling to any planetary system, so advanced in spiritual knowledge, they appear and become invisible. So they were very rare. So he tells that, I am going to tell you the stories, discussions from those nine Yogendras. And then he says that once upon a time, in the kingdom of Videha, Janak, the king who was a great devotee of Lord, there came these nine Yogendras. So he's telling the history of these nine Yogendras. And then when they came there, they asked. They came there and all the priests and some yajna was happening. So King Videha, he immediately seeing now Yogendras offered obeisances, worshipped him and immediately asked the question. What is the ultimate duty of a human being? Kindly tell me. They have come and he's immediately asking question, not even telling how are you? Sab theek hai na? Prabhupada says, why to ask a saintly person how are you? Ask how are we? They are always good because they are saintly. They will never be in problem. Even if the problems are there, they will transcend the problem. So there is no problem in them. They never suffer. So don't ask how are they. Ask how are we. Ask what is to be done. But then Vasudev, the father of Krishna, is a great devotee. King Videha is a great devotee. What they want to know? They already know everything. But Prabhupada teaches that even if a person knows everything, still regularly attending Bhagavatam is important. Hearing from Bhagavatam is important. Like the people, devotees like Vasudev, the father of Krishna, is eager to hear. King Videha is eager to hear. So even if one becomes transcendental, advanced, still hearing process never goes off. He tells, immediately ask questions, please tell me about the devotional service. And then the nine Yogendras, one after another, tells in the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, and then comes the fifth chapter where we are in today. One Yogendra, one after another, keeps on telling different answers. Videha, King Videha asks about different questions. He asks, tell me about devotional service. First, now Yogendra answers in 10 verses, in second chapter. Then, in third chapter, fourth chapter, similarly, Parikshit Videha asks about, tell me about the potency, your mystical potency. Tell me about the avatars of the Lord. And then, now Yogendras, second, third, fourth, fifth Yogendra, sixth Yogendra in the fourth chapter, answers in 10, 15 verses. And then when the fifth chapter comes, fifth chapter where we are in today, the seventh Yogendra, he asks, seventh Yogendra asked in the fourth chapter, in the fifth chapter, eight and nine, two Yogendras are remaining. So, when the fifth chapter starts, the question is asked that what is the position of the people who do not worship you, who does not worship Supreme Lord? Please tell me. So now Yogendra, they answer. Eighth of the Yogendra, he is answering about what is the position of a person who does not worship Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he asks in 18 verses. We are in 13th verse now. So in 13th verse, the answer given by the eighth now Yogendra, he is answering about the question which was asked in the first verse of 5th chapter. So Chamasha Rishi, Nav Yogendra, one of the Navayana, Chamasha, he replies to the question which was asked in the first verse of the fifth chapter. The question was, tell us the position of a person who does not worship Supreme Personality of Godhead. In 18 verses he answers. We are in 13th verse. So he tells about, in this 13th verse, he's telling, the only proper fruit of acquired wealth is religiosity, on the basis of which one can acquire the philosophical understanding of life. According to Vedic injunction, when wine is offered in sacrificial ceremonies, it is later to be consumed by smelling and not by drinking. Similarly, the sacrificial offerings of the animal is permitted, but there is no provision for the wide scale animal sacrifice. So he says that wine is offered, is allowed to be offered in Vedas. Animal sacrifice is allowed. Now Yogendra, one of the now, eighth, now Yogendra is telling home. He's telling to Videha, King Videha, who asked the question, what happens to people who do not worship Supreme God? So he's telling that, see, he starts by telling first verse saying that there are varnas and ashram. Each varna is ashram, is coming from the body of the Supreme Lord. Head is like the Brahmana, hands are like the Kshatriyas, thighs are like the Vaishyas, and legs are like the Shudras. They have to perform their roles. And then he keeps on telling that people who are so much attached to the Vedas, Karmakanda sections of the Vedas, they become pride, they follow the Vedas, they become pride, they become lusty, and they do so many wrong things. Then he says about the wrong things that they do. So in 12th verses he says that what they do. He says that they do dharma, artha, kama, nothing about moksha. By their good activities they get artha in this life. They use it for sense gratification, kama, not for the dharma. In Gita it is said that one should use the artha for dharma but not for the kama. But these people who are attached to Karmakanda, they use it for kama. And then what to speak about? Because if dharma is not performed, then realization does not come, liberation does not come. So now in 13th verse, he is telling, see what people do. He says that wine is allowed in the Vedas, killing animal is allowed in the Vedas, but not killing for unscrupulously, as per the mental whims. Just for eating, for the test birds of her tongue. It's not allowed. And he says that it is allowed if a Brahmana who ignites the fire of the yajna can rejuvenate the life of the animal sacrificed. Generally it's old animal. And if it is a fresh animal, he is going to Swargloka. If it's old animals in front, they will get a body which is like a young animal. Can anyone do that? If one cannot do, it's not allowed. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Supreme Lord himself, he says that in this Kali Yuga, four things are not allowed. Ashwamedam guavalambam sanyasa palapaitrikam devarena sutapattim kalau pancha vivarjet. He says that Ashwamedha yagya, killing of the Ashwa, horse sacrifice by the kings, which would happen, not allowed. Then guavalambam, sacrificing a cow, it's not allowed. Sannyas is not allowed. Now you may say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took sannyas. Why it is not allowed? Because there are not people who can follow it. It's very difficult to follow. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said not allowed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. He perfectly followed the sannyas ashram. In fact, he taught how to follow. So there's no wrong in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. Now somebody may say, what about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? What about Prabhupada taking sannyas? They took it for the preaching purpose. Another thing is, the sannyas which we are talking about is like one dandi sannyas. Those sannyasis who are having, who think of the realization of the Brahman to be the highest, merging into Supreme Brahman. They think that. So sannyas for that purpose is not allowed. That is the sannyas they are talking about. But this three dandi sannyas, wherein one uses it for preaching, for the glorification of Lord, that is okay. And Prabhupada says that we are using it for a preaching purpose. Dev sannyasam palapaitrikam, offering of oblations, meat sacrifice, meat to the forefathers in Shraddha ceremony. That is not allowed. And then he says, devarena sutapapti. By the devar, by the husband's brother who impregnates the brother's wife. If husband is not there, if husband dies, then the wife of her husband can get a child from brother, husband's brother. That is not allowed. We saw that it happening in Vichitravirya's case. Vichitravirya, the son of Satyavati, he died early. And then Satyavati called her son, Vyasdev. And he said, please impregnate the Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. And from there came Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and through maid servant came the Vidura. So that happened in the previous ages. But in this age, it's not allowed. Why? Because the mentality of a people is enjoying. Vyasadeva mentality was not enjoying. He applied whole oil in the body. Could not even see with whom he is cohabiting. Nor the ladies know who is going to come. So such was the combination. Can people do now? Will not. That's why it's not allowed. But previously, the kings, they do these sacrifices, which are not allowed in these ages. Now somebody, so it is mentioned that how Amrish Maharaj, then Bharat Maharaj, they did sacrifices. Now somebody may say that they did sacrifice, animal sacrifice for offering it to the demigods. But that's not pure bhakti, because pure bhakti means Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmana Adivritam. No other desire than worshipping Supreme Lord. But here they are worshipping whom? Demigods. Then how is it a pure bhakti? Somebody may question. But they were doing all this yajna to, and they were worshipping demigods. That is not a pure bhakti. How do you call these devotees as a pure devotees? So the acharyas, they say that actually they themselves were not doing it. They made others to perform. So there are different priests who would take part in the sacrifice. There will be the priest who is seeing that all everything is going well, coordinating, somebody chanting mantra, somebody actually doing the things. So Advaryu priest, through Advaryu priest, these Raj Rishis would perform. So if somebody is performing, who is actually the doer? They are not doing, the priests are doing. Now somebody may say, come on, if some Brahmanas are doing the yajna, and you go and tell who is performing, you don't tell this Brahmana is doing, you tell who is the yajman, one who gets it, through whom the priests are doing. So he is also a performer. How can you say that he is not a performer? How can you say that only Advaryu priests are doing, they are not doing? He actually gave money, he actually arranged, so he is also the performer. So how then pure bhakti comes? So then acharyas explained that when this Raj Rishis, they were getting it done through somebody, so not directly, indirectly they were doing, but still they were involved. When they were involved, when they were doing this sacrifice, their mind was not that they were doing it for some benefit. The purpose for doing this was not for the material benefits. What was the purpose of doing this yajna? Just to please Supreme Lord. Just to please Supreme Lord. Now somebody may say, if it was to please Supreme Lord, why they were worshipping the demigods? They were doing sacrifice as per the Vedas, which worships demigods. So if it was to please the Supreme Lord, why they were worshipping the demigods? So the point is, they were worshipping the demigods because as per the rule, this particular demigod has to worship in this Ashwamedh Yajna. So he was doing it. But when he was doing it, he was seeing everything as the Supreme Lord. He sees that when this demigod is offered, just like Indra is Swaha, he sees that this Indra is this portion of the Supreme Lord. When he sees that Surya is Swaha, that mantra is chanted, he sees that actually it is offered to the eye of the Supreme Lord. So the Virat Rupa, the eye is like a Surya. So different parts of the Supreme Lord, different demigods are there. So when each and every demigods are given oblations, he would think about the Supreme Lord. So when one performs the karma yoga or this activities, whatever is the desire, one gets that. If somebody offers or does this yajna thinking that I want something, he gets that. He gets material benefits. If somebody is doing it, I just want to do it to please him, to please this demigod, he gets that result. He pleases that demigods. At the end, he goes to that demigods. So different, whatever purpose. Jase jache karma, tase phala deta panduranga. As jase, whatever work we do, with what intention? It's not like offering. Even the devotees go and offer obeisances to demigods. But the intention is what? Not that this demigod is like, I have to do it. If I don't go and offer obeisance, what will happen? Not with that mood. Devotees go and offer obeisances. Why? Because knowing, oh, see, this Durga Devi. Now Katrayani work is, pujas are done. So they say that, oh, this Vaishnavi is actually serving Supreme Lord. That's why Tenkan-su says that you did work of Krishna, Krishna will glorify you. All the people will glorify you, worship you. So devotees see that how these demigods are pleasing Krishna. With that mentality, they offer respect. Prabhupada said, what to speak of offering respect to the demigod? Even to the ant, one should offer respect. Why? Because Paramatma is there in the heart. So the intention has to be clear. If our intentions are proper, then we do not become fanatic. Otherwise, some devotees who think themselves, oh, we are Krishna Bhakta, they just disrespect other demigods and the people who are worshipping other demigods. And they create the friction. Why? Because they think that we are the worshipper of that supreme person. These are all like... So there comes the pride. Even in worshipping Krishna, one can have pride. So pride one can have in anything. So the devotees of the Lord, they can have pride for anything. Yesterday we saw the Govardhan Puja. Indra got proud. And Krishna taught about how the devotees would take shelter even in the pride. In pride, in this situation of fear. So one can have pride and other things even in worshipping Krishna. So when Bharat Maharaj, he was worshipping this demigod, he was seeing each and every demigod as a limbs of the Supreme Lord. And he was doing it just to please Supreme Lord. So in that way, without any material desire. So that is what Gita says, that if any yajna which is done, if one does not have faith in that yajna, it's actually useless. One does not get result in this life nor in the next. So when this Raj Rishi, who were doing this yajna, not themselves, through somebody, Advaryu priest, they did not have faith in that yajna. They did not thought that, oh, if I don't offer my these oblations to my forefathers, they will starve. No, they did not have faith. They were just doing it to set the example so that other peoples who do not worship Supreme Lord should do at least demigod worship. So the kings would arrange for all these yajnas through somebody. They do not have faith. And Gita says, if you do not have faith, then there is no result. So they do not get bind. Gita says, yajna artat karmana Vishnu anyatra karma bandana. One should perform yajna for Vishnu to satisfy Vishnu. That's why in Mahabharata, one of the name of Vishnu Shastranam is yajna bhuk yajna krit yajna. He is yajna krit. He is actually the doer. The people who are doing the yajna, if they think that I am the doer, I am doing this, my kararao, I am doing, I am offering, I am giving donations to the temple, because of me temple is running. Okay, you think you are the performer? You are the actor? You are doing this activity? You are binded by that. But Lord says, he is the actually doer. He inspires one to do something. See, if one thinks that Lord is actually the doer, he is not the performer, he has nothing to get binded by. So Lord is the actually doer. Lord is the yajna. The yajna which is performed is Supreme Lord himself, the process itself. Everything praliyate, merges in transcendence. For the devotees who are unattached, sense control, when they do yajna, everything merges in spirituality. It's actually spiritual. The Lord says that process is me. I am the doer. And I am the enjoyer. Yajna bhuk. I am the enjoyer of the yajna. He says he's the enjoyer of the yajna. So with that mentality, if one does that, one is not binded. That's why here we see that offering of this wine, offering of this sacrificial animals, all this is allowed, but discouraged actually in the Vedas. It is allowed for the people so that people who have general tendency, they can satisfy their senses, which actually cannot be without bhakti, but still some prohibition is given, something is given, some concessions are given, so that people become sane, normal, and then practice Krishna consciousness and gradually progress, come to the process of Krishna consciousness. So it's not a rule that one has to do this. It's not a rule that one has to do animal sacrifice. No. Actually the rule is not to do better. Best is not to do it. But if you have a tendency to eat meat, if you have a tendency to do this, that, it says that okay, at least offer it to the demigods. So this laws which are given here is not to encourage actually. Just like government never encourages wine shop. Does government say, okay, you all go and drink? Demoniac government encourages. Why? Because they get tax. But normal government will never encourage. But still they open and keep give licenses. Somebody says, why they are giving licenses? So that people who are mad, who will anyhow drink, smuggle and drink, at least they do not do nonsense. They go and drink at some place. So that concession is given. So similarly, these laws are given so that people would become sane. And then, by gradually doing that, by gradual worshipping demigods, they will ask, why am I doing this? What will happen with this animal sacrifice? What will happen? What will this animal do to me? If I kill them now, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki Jai. So this is the purpose of this sacrifice. Gradual progression and nothing else. There is a nice description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Chand Kazi in Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17th chapter, Adi Leela. He talks about the Muslims, why they kill cow. I did not take it, but we can read that pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling to the Chand Kazi why Muslims kill cow. He's having nice discussion. And he tells the effect in Kali Yuga, what is prohibited. Because Kaji says that your scripture mentions. So this is a nice description which is given. So there are so many pastimes which mentions that. So though these verses are there in the scriptures, it is not actually recommended. And if somebody who is not performing bhakti, they can perform these sacrifices so that they gradually come to the process of devotional service. And by doing that, they get their life successful. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.